as a sort of a great surprise to you, we have some new people who will be joining our choir and our handbell choir. They are guests who have expressed an interest in participating in a choir and a handbell choir. So you'll get to meet them as the next coming weeks here when we perform the numbers that Dee is putting together. And I'm sure there's a more technical word than numbers. That's probably not it. The movements, the pieces, whatever they are. You know what I'm saying. But I've known the Frey family for quite a while. As a matter of fact, I taught Ellie Frey, who will be in the handbell choir, when she was tiny, kindergarten age. And one thing we used to do at church is we would open, sort of like we did at Rehoboth, we'd open it with songs. I'd play guitar and the kids would dance around. They'd sing these campfire songs glorifying God. And Ellie now is a teenager. She's probably taller than me or pretty close to it. And she's very quiet, very reserved. And as she was leaving from bell choir the other night, she was being very quiet. She just got done practicing basketball, so she's probably tired, ready to go to bed. And she started to recall singing those songs, and she started dancing in the aisleway, just like the spirit came over her, and she's just gone. And she's singing, "Oh, I remember that song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart." And she was just singing at the top of her lungs and dancing, sort of like Snoopy on Charlie Brown, her face is in the air. And I thought, how appropriate to start our sermon today, just knowing that someone still has that joy down in their heart. Joy is so much different than happiness. Happiness comes and goes. There are causes of happiness, and there are things that make even the best of Christians sad, especially this time of year, when you think that everyone should be happy all the time. It's just not the case. There are things, as I was mentioning with our announcements today, there are things pulling you in so many directions. You have to have kids here and kids there, and kids need picked up, but kids need dropped off. You've got band concerts, choral recitals, you've got trips going on, holiday parties. Everything competes for our time, and it can be enough to just wear you down, and you lose the happiness. But joy is not happiness. Joy is something that lives deep down in your heart, and it only comes from Jesus Christ. And we started off our Advent season with the story or the poem of the four candles, and how this little child walked in the room and some of those candles went out, but that candle of hope continually reignited joy and love and peace. And we have to always remember that that joy needs to stay in our heart. Do you realize that the word, the Hebrew and Greek words anyways, used for happiness are only used 30 times throughout the Bible? But joy is used 300 times, well over 300 times. They're different. And I want to take just a quick scan through the Holy Scriptures and dig in a little bit about what joy really means to those who have it. The first place I want to stop is in heaven. It's the last book of the Bible. But that book of Revelation, that book I keep bringing back to you, it is a book of blessings. It is not meant to scare you. The book of Revelation tells us a little bit about joy in heaven. John writes, "I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory.'" Joy doesn't just reside here on earth. A great multitude of angels singing out, "Hallelujah," are rejoicing. Rejoicing is that form of joy. It kind of bubbles up and starts in your heart, and it comes out your throat and out your mouth, and you give God glory. And the great multitude in heaven, all the angels, will rejoice constantly. They sing that unending song, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a never-ending, joyous hymn. So we have that to look forward to. How about the wise men? The wise men saw his star. It wasn't just a star. It wasn't just some random constellation. But they knew they had been seeking the star. And they followed it. And they came in and they talked to the king and they finally found the one they were looking for, the one whom this star belonged. And when they saw that star, they rejoiced. They had joy. But I love the way the original Greek kind of puts this. If I had to translate it very literally, they were overjoyed with great joy. Now, how joyous is that? It's not just being joyous. They were overjoyed with great joy. It's just bursting at the seams. They saw the one they had been waiting for. They had been studying the stars, just waiting. And there it was. Pack up the bags. We got to go. That's a joy that can only be found in Jesus Christ. As the shepherds were out in the field, now think about this, and I'm sure we'll bring it up again on Christmas Eve. As they were sitting in the field watching over their flocks at night, and darkness had set in on the land, their only thought was to protect that flock from the dangerous animals that wanted to kill the sheep. And this light came from out of nowhere. This angel descended to tell them the good news. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you, and He is Christ the Lord." This is the good news of great joy. This is the news that you hear with your ears and that settles in your heart. It's the news that the one you've been waiting for, the promise, has been fulfilled. And He is here today. And the shepherds were so happy from this joyous news, this great joy. So you can see there is a difference, and it's actually quite a significant difference between simple happiness. One person that I found on the internet, she was a writer for Christianity Today. She described the difference between happiness and joy in this way. Happiness is fleeting, for it is dependent upon some external force, something that comes into our life and leaves our life. But joy is exceeding gladness. It's solid and it's based upon fact. Joy lives here. I would say happiness lives here. Happiness is experienced with your mind and joy is experienced with your heart, your innermost being, your spirit. There are other times we've come across joy, but the one that Paul writes about is the one that really differentiates between happiness and joy. For Paul writes many times, and I've only picked a couple, about joy in suffering. And you're going to say, "Pastor Whalen, how can I be joyous when I'm suffering?" We have people in our prayer list who are going through suffering right now. They don't seem very happy. It's because they're not. Nobody is happy when they're suffering. But we can still be and should still be joyful, because we know the promises that lie ahead of us. Paul writes this about suffering. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you will suffer, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, so that you may be overjoyed, exceedingly joyful, when His glory is revealed. This is the difference. I can't be happy when something bad happens. It's difficult for me. It's tough for me to be happy when all kinds of great things are happening. But joyful, I can be joyful because I know what lies ahead. I know what the end is. And it's this time of year we are called to be joyful because we recall Emmanuel. God is with us. He came here so that we might, in the end, be with Him. He brought us into reconciliation with God. And that is the joy that I know, that I hold in my heart. Paul writes again to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice." Should be on our lips. We go through difficult times. Paul says, you shouldn't be surprised by that. And yet we are. But rejoice. We sit back and we say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? We have to recall back, God, thank you for what you've done for me. That is the difference between happiness and joy. It's not going to make it easy to get through our trials and our sufferings, but it will make it tolerable. As I've read, and I have not read many books on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I still can't get over how calm he was knowing he was walking towards his execution by the Nazis. And yet, the one thing he wanted to do was to participate in the Lord's Supper before he left to be hanged. How do you do that? It's the joy. It's the hope. It's the faith you have in Jesus Christ and what He has done. What He's still doing today. He's bringing us together. And joy is one of those factors that's necessary for us to understand the love He had for us in the first place. As I was putting this together, again, this one lady from Christianity Today had this to write. She writes, as I grow older, I'm finding it more of a necessity for my soul to be joyful and peaceful in Christ. Abiding in Christ is becoming a necessity for me to be able to write and to enjoy the company of my family and friends, and for every day to be happy. Over the years, I have trained myself to stop when I find myself being stressed or unhappy or feeling empty, and I reorient myself to Christ. I repent if necessary, I pray, I read the scriptures, so that I can go through my day with a soul full of the Holy Spirit and joy instead of restlessness and stress. I think those are wise words. When we feel empty, when we feel like that candle is starting to get blown out, flicker in the wind, we need to reorient ourselves. We need to focus on the joyful message, the good news that brings us great joy. Today, a Savior is born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ the Lord. There are so many things that compete for our time, but do we make time for the most important things? This lady wrote that hers were praying, reading the scriptures. Do we find time for those? Martin Luther wrote, I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours today in prayer in order to get it all done. Wow. Complete different way of thinking than we're used to. Because typically we say, I have so much to do today, I don't know if I'll have time to pray. And Luther said, I've got so much to do today, I'm going to need to spend 3 hours, more than usual, just so I can get it all done. That's the joy that's bubbling up. Throughout this Advent season, long ago, Advent was a time of, well, it wasn't like Lent, but a lot of people treated it that way, where things were kind of subdued, the waiting. But this Sunday was always, the third Sunday in Advent was the time that that joy broke out. It was kept inside for too long, and it bubbled up right in the middle of Advent. I want you today to just leave here thinking that I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. When happiness fades, when the holiday gets to you, keep that joy. Go in prayer and reorient yourself to kindle that joyous fire that lives in your heart. Amen.